Well, hi, friend. I'm your host, Leaning Heiss, and this is episode 102 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Welcome back. We're so glad you're here. We hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend if you're here in America, and a powerful start to the week if you are overseas. As you know, each week we try to bring you content that encourages, empowers, and equips you to reach the next generation for Christ, and encourages you to pray more powerfully, more effectively for the kids in your life. Moms in Prayer is a nonprofit ministry, and we're funded by the financial gifts of our listeners and prayer warriors like you. Would you take a minute and make a donation to the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer by hopping on our website and clicking the Give button, or you can text the word STEWARD to 41444. That's the word STEWARD to 41444. Today, you get a chance to sit down with me for a conversation with one of my heroes. I'm not gonna lie. This episode, I totally fangirl because it goes down in one of the moments I want to remember forever. Today, we have Ian Dunnigan on the podcast. And about 10 years ago, while I was homeschooling my oldest son, I found a treasure of a book that shaped the way our family does life. What happened in that book, and for sure in this conversation, is that my faith is set aflame, and the passion I have for raising kids who love, know, and serve Jesus is erupting all over again. I know you're going to be deeply encouraged today, so you can find all the things we talk about and ways to connect with our guest in our show notes on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to Moms in Prayer's friend, Ian Dunnigan. Well, Ian, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you, Lee. This is an honor and a blessing.
It is so fun. Actually, a dream come true for me to have you on the podcast. You wrote a book like a decade ago that has been living on my bookshelf and living in my heart. And I don't say that to many people. So, Ian, your words have been really important to me, and it is an honor to get to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Lee. I'm excited to talk to you too and your awesome books that you are doing. Brave Moms, Brave Kids. Awesome.
Well, it's fun to have you here. Okay, let's talk about your family. Tell us all about the Dunnigan family.
All right. Well, I am a mom, and I'm a mom who loves to pray as well. My husband and I, we've been married since 1987. We have seven children. They used to be just a really cute little stair step, you know, boom, 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 boom. But now our children are all grown up, and five of our kids are married. We have 14 grandchildren. And as a family, we have been able to go and share the light of Jesus in over 120 different nations all over the world. We have a passion for the Great Commission. We have a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our kids all, by God's amazing grace, our kids all love the Lord. And it's just so beautiful to now see our kids raising their kids for Jesus.
Oh, I don't think that there's anything else that our listeners want more than to have that scenario where our kids raise kids to love Jesus. Were you guys, you and John, raised in Christian homes?
We were. We were both raised in strong Christian homes. My parents were teachers. My dad was a public school teacher for 30 years. And then my husband's parents were on a farm. So he grew up as the youngest of nine kids on a dairy farm. And his dad was in charge of writing the missions check from their little country church. And something that was a real influential thing in my husband and why he got a heart for missions was that one time he saw his parents, when a missionary came over for dinner, his parents, before that missionary came, they went and were trying to think of what they could do to help the missionary. And they went and sold a couple cows at an auction. And we saw how his dad took that handful of money and presented it to that missionary when he came. And it just struck in my husband's heart that, you know, if missions is that important to mom and dad, it needs to be important to me. And, you know, my father-in-law was not a preacher. Like, he was a dairy farmer. My parents, they weren't preachers. My dad was a public school teacher, but they loved the Lord and really instilled in us a heart to pray and a heart for the Bible. And we are very grateful for that. My mom led me to Jesus when I was a little girl, 3 years old. That's my testimony.
I think that's the kind of testimony that we want the most for our kids. Like, we were raised in a Christian home, and yet we sometimes have those testimonies and wish for something exciting. And I keep telling my kids, babe, what I want more than anything is for you to just love Jesus from 3 years old till the grave, you know? Like, let's keep it nice and boring and make our greatest adventure Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think that serving Jesus from the time that we're young has to be boring. That God wants for our kids to live on the edge of adventure, and he wants not for just us to raise like good little kids who will sit still in church and just make us look good as mothers, but that we would have the guts to raise our kids to do daring exploits for the kingdom of God, that their testimony would be thrilling and exciting, not for the bad that they grew up with or they fell into when they were older. And, you know, whatever, if any of our children, there's any mommies who have prodigals or moms who are struggling with children right now, God's grace is there for you right now. And he can take whether our stories are boring or whether our stories start out with horrible stuff, God can take anything and turn it around with his grace for his glory.
I think that's awesome. I think this is leading us to the idea that we're not plugging into the American dream where our kids have white picket fences and houses and 3.5 kids and a dog necessarily. That may work out for them, and that may be the story that God has for them. But actually, you're kind of pointing us to something different, right?
God wants us to live radical for him. He wants us to be radical prayer warriors. He wants us to have a heart for the truth of the word of God and to raise our children to be arrows in the hand of God, that they would obey, that they would love God, and that they would obey him, whatever it is that God would have for them to do.
So let's talk about reframing this idea of home as more than just a place where we eat dinner and we sleep at night, but actually as a training center. I think that you're probably the one who has instilled that in me the most, that our homes are actually like bases of operation, right?
That's right. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us, now you are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through you. I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it's like, we are ambassadors for Christ. Our kids are ambassadors for Christ, and our homes are an embassy. They're like an embassy for the kingdom of God. Like, we all have a nation that we live in, but our real home is heaven, and our physical house, our physical home, our place of dwelling, it's like an embassy for the kingdom of God. When people come into our homes, they should sense the presence of God. And when we go out from our homes, we're on mission. We are on mission. We can even be on mission in our homes as well, whether we're in our homes, out of our homes, that we are to live every day on mission for God.
I love that. We were planning to go over spring break to Washington, D.C., and one of the things I wanted to do was drive down Embassy Road, mostly because that represents a place that is different here in America. That little place of land actually belongs to France or Spain or Portugal or Brazil, like each of those places. And here we are in the middle of my road and your road, and we represent the kingdom of God in that place. It's a powerful idea that we're respite centers for people. We just love so differently, and that will spread to our kids as well. So this introduces the idea of having a perspective that is bigger than just us.
Yes. You know, we don't have to teach our kids to be selfish. They come packaged that way from birth. There's, you know, mine and me. And, you know, you have to teach children to share. You have to teach children not to be selfish or to think of others. Like, having a heart for local and global missions, like, it's not just becoming a missionary. Like, it starts with learning to share with our siblings or learning to pray for other people. And so instilling that in our homes, that we are not just about me, myself, and I, even the priority of family, you know, as a mom, we want to have this very strong, you know, that our family, our marriage, our children, that this is a priority in our life. But at the same time, Jesus said, who is my neighbor? And it's not just the kids sitting around your table, that we are to have a heart for the people of the world. We're to have a heart for others. We're to have a heart for the lost. And you can instill this into the heart of your children. You know, it's not just learning about missionaries. It's instilling a love and a worship for Jesus, where then your kids want for other people to know him too. And your children are just like excited that their names are written in the book of life, and they know God, and they love God. And it's like this personal living relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's like when they know that, then as they begin to learn that there are people around the world that have never heard the name of Jesus, there are people around the world that do not know him. Maybe there's relatives, you know, that don't know him. Maybe there's people, you know, at the grocery store, or people, you know, nearby, people in your school who do not know him. And so instilling in your children this passion to help and pray for others to know him too.
I imagine that there are moms listening and they think, I get that. That's how I am. I have this heart to, yay, go in. But I also know that there's probably a mom listening who is like, well, I would really like to have that desire. This sounds all new to her. And to that woman who's saying, okay, I want to pray for lost people, I just maybe haven't developed that heart yet. What would you say to her?
I'd say, let's start off close to home. Let's start off, instead of praying like for the quote unquote, let's pray for the lost all around the world. Let's bring it close to home and think of, okay, who is someone in your sphere? I like to encourage families to get a 7 for heaven list, where you have at least 7 names of people you know, maybe relatives, maybe family members, maybe people in your local area, and actually begin to pray for those people by name, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. Pray that God would open up their hearts. Pray that they would become aware of their need for God. Pray that God would give us compassion to care for the salvation of others. And as you pray, and as you pray specifically, God will stir more of that heart in us. It can also be helpful to just really look at, remember what Jesus did on the cross. There's this one saying that says you don't have to cross the seas to be a missionary. You just have to see the cross. And sometimes that can just be like this little trite saying, oh, you just have to see the cross. But I'm talking about you have to see it. You need to really get an understanding of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. John 14:6, it says that there's no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved but by the name of Jesus. And like, even just fervent worship, getting in God's word and looking to the cross will help us get a bigger view of realizing how thankful we are for our salvation, and then stirring up, even asking God to stir up a heart for those who don't know him.
I love that. That's actually what God did for me. I prayed and asked God to give me a heart for lost people. I just realized that wasn't something that you automatically have. We have to ask God for that. And Moms in Prayer probably has a leg up. If you're in a Moms in Prayer group, you know that we pray each week for children in schools who do not know Jesus, teachers. And this is something that is a great idea just to stir inside of our homes. I love the 7 for heaven. For us, it's always been the teachers in our public schools, our kids, friends. But I think it's asking God to give us a heart for lost people, give us his heart for lost people. It starts with him. And I think that's a prayer that he loves to say yes to as well. Before we go any further, and we've used this word missions, and I know that not all churches use that word. So if women aren't familiar with the term missions, what does that mean to you? And what are we talking about? There's like two different levels of missions, right? Like local missions, foreign missions. What are you talking about?
When I think of living on mission, and even businesses will use that term, like having a mission statement, like, you know, what are you all about? Of realizing that as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are to live on mission for God, where we are about God's kingdom, not just our own kingdom. We are about living for eternity, not just living for right now. And so it's not whether you become a full-time minister or whether you become a missionary by traveling on an airplane to go to another country. It is having that heart for the cross and having that heart for the lost and being obedient to whatever it is that God would call us to do, to live on mission for him. There's a phrase that is used a lot in Christianity called the Great Commission, and that is taken from all four Gospels, from the book of Acts, but where Jesus told us in his final words on earth when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're all to be a part of that. So like there was a famous missionary named Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China, and he said the Great Commission is not an option to consider. It's a command to obey. And something my husband and I, that we like to say is just missions is not just for missionaries. God's call is for all.
So good. So what did this look like as you guys were building a young family? What were the early steps that you took when your kids were younger?
Well, we, just as a family, our particular calling is we are involved in going to other countries all around the world and preaching the gospel, showing the Jesus film, starting churches, you know, preaching to unreached villages and things like that. So, you know, for our family, we actually were traveling to other nations. Sometimes we would go as a family. Sometimes my husband would go. There was a long period of time, quite a number of years, where my husband was going to very dangerous war-torn areas and I was home with the kids. But even during those times, the Lord was stirring in all of us more of a heart for the lost. And I remember there was this one time that our second son, his name's Josh, and one time when he was a little, he must have been about 8 years old, and John, my husband, was over on a mission trip. And I came down into the living room, and Josh was crying. And I'm like, Josh, are you okay? You know, what's going on? And I found out that he had been praying in the living room, and he was praying for his daddy, and he was praying for people over in Africa. It was over in East Africa where my husband was. But as I came down, I'm like, he was sobbing, and I'm like, Josh, what is going on? And he just said, Mom, I've been praying for daddy. And he said, I just realized that people that don't know Jesus, they can't go to heaven, and they can't go to heaven. They go to hell, and then they're stuck there. And he just kept saying that they're stuck there forever. And then he just said, as he was just kind of, you know, kind of like blubbering, and he just said, Mom, I never told anybody about Jesus. Like, I want to be able to tell people about Jesus. And I remember that I just prayed with him. And I just prayed, well, Josh, why don't we just pray that God will give you an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus? And so then as a mom, you know, I'm like, okay, well, let's prepare Josh to be able to, you know, make sure, you know, I had raised them to do that. But just like, okay, well, let's get out some little ideas of how you can, you know, share like the gospel colors. That's a tool with Child Evangelism Fellowship, or, you know, like the four spiritual laws. And so he was only like 8 years old, but then it's like, well, let's just begin to pray that God will give an opportunity for you. And then I took him to a couple parks where he could be around some other kids, and he went on a mission trip to a couple different parks, and he ended up that week, he met a little boy named Randy, and he shared with this little boy named Randy about Jesus, led him to the Lord. And this is all while John was off on a mission trip. And, you know, when I kind of look at this full circle, Josh is now an adult. He's now happily married. He and his wife, Anna, they have four children. They now have a ministry called Gospel Projects International. This last week, they have a children's home that their ministry supports. They've got Bible schools that they've started. And even just this week, they were distributing hundreds of bags of food over in India for a really horrible, needy situation. But the part that just like totally blessed my heart was our little grandson, Trevor, who is 5. Trevor loaded up his arms just a couple days ago, loaded up his arms full of yogurt and cheese sticks and, you know, little food from the refrigerator. And he's like, I want to give food to other people too. And it's just, you know, seeing how we teach things to our children. And then it's that heart for the lost, that heart of compassion for them to then teach their children. And then it multiplies. Like, I know Moms in Prayer International, you guys know all about discipleship, multiplication. It's like, you know, you raise up people who will then raise up others also.
It's so rich to believe that our kids can impact other people. Are there some other ideas that you might have for young moms who are looking at growing a heart for the world in their kids?
Well, first of all, I will say Moms in Prayer International is such a fabulous global impacting ministry. And we have been friends of Moms in Prayer International way back from the 1990s. I actually had a lady that came with us on a mission to Uganda and Tanzania way back in the late 1990s. And she brought a whole like boxes of these little booklets. Actually, at that time, they were called Moms in Touch International, yep, way back then. And we did some different women's conferences. And then she shared about this, the vision of what is now Moms in Prayer International. So I would just encourage you, if you are looking for like, where do we start? Just go to the Moms in Prayer International website and look. It's like how many different countries? 140 nations?
146 countries around the world.
And like the little booklet is translated in, you can see the different languages where this little booklet is translated. You can actually see faces of leaders, like right now, the woman who is in charge of Uganda, her name's Jessica. Like I looked at her picture and I saw her story of when Moms in Prayer International started in their country. So this gives you really specific ways to pray for a ministry that you are already connected to. Another idea is to get involved with Child Evangelism Fellowship, where there's good news clubs that share the gospel in schools all over. Probably if you're in a Moms in Prayer International group, a prayer group, there is probably a good news club in the school that you are already praying for. And those good news clubs need volunteers and they need extra people even to be there for, you know, that have done a security check and make sure that you're safe. And, you know, they need people to provide snacks and people to pray for the children who are coming to the good news clubs. Okay, so that if a mom with kids in that school goes to the CEF group, the Child Evangelism Fellowship Good News Club in your school, like that is a mission trip right where you are. And that is like a global impacting ministry. Or getting involved in a ministry like Operation Christmas Child, where you and your family could pack up some shoe boxes to send to children in other nations around the world. You can actually, Moms in Prayer International is connected with Operation Christmas Child. And there's like on your website, there's a little prayer card that you can print out that says Moms in Prayer International up at the top. And just to realize that we can link arms together with what God is doing all over the world. You can be an ambassador for Moms in Prayer International, an ambassador for Operation Christmas Child, an ambassador for Child Evangelism Fellowship. But most of all, we are ambassadors for Jesus wherever we would go. So I don't know, there's so many different ideas of just, you know, instilling in our kids a heart to pray and to obey.
And one of the things that you've taught me is that we need to tell them worthy stories. We need to tell our kids stories about people who have given their lives to following Jesus and why that is to be desired, why that's admirable. So, I mean, in your book, you talk about different short stories of missionaries that have gone around the world sharing the gospel and the impact that that's had. But that has been one of the greatest joys in our family is all these rich stories of how God's moved. Like Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor, you said him, George Mueller. I mean, just these people who have served Christ in hard places, which just kind of reminds me, one of the things that I hear often is if we serve people, our kids are going to see hard things. When we get involved with broken people, our kids are going to see poverty up close. They're going to see probably addictions at some level or things that are difficult to express. What do you say to the mom who is scared to show her kids that level of brokenness?
Don't be afraid, because as you do life personally, just even as a mom, as we do life with a focus on helping others, focus on helping people who are in need, focus on helping people in trouble, it instills in our kids that this is real and this is life. This is what we care about. It's not just all about finding the latest fashions or getting bigger toys around the house. It is about living for people who are hurting, and kids can catch that. Kids, I mean, we teach them, we train them, we can read missionary stories, we can take them along to do different things, but it's like kids will catch our heart, kind of like Trevor with all that little gathering up the groceries. And it's like he had seen his mom this week. He had seen her weeping over these needs over in India, and he caught that. And I just encourage us to not be afraid. Our kids are called to be lights. Mm. And we want them to be, you know, the Bible says that we're not just to take our light and hide it under a basket, but to be put up where it can be a light, and, you know, where lights are needed are in the dark places. And I want to raise our kids, and we did raise our kids with a heart to be daring, daring daughters, a heart to raise our sons to be men of God and to be willing to do tough stuff for God. There was a time, one of our sons, he grew up and he went off to college. And after college, he actually went into the U.S. Marine Corps, and he was off. He did, you know, a lot of really dangerous things. And as a mom, I tell you, I was praying for God's protection. But something interesting is, you know, after that time, he lived in Boston during the time of the Boston Marathon bombing. And my son was only, he was just like two blocks away when the first bomb went off. And you know what? He left his wallet. He was like at a little restaurant, and he left his wallet there. He ran toward where the bomb had gone off. Everybody was running away, and he ran towards where the bomb had gone off, and it was horrible. He actually said it was worse that day than anything he had seen over in Afghanistan. It was horrible, horrible. But he was there putting tourniquets around people who had lost limbs. And I mean, we've had our kids grow up and do dangerous things. One time I got a phone call from our daughter, Christy, her and her husband and a little baby. They were over in Niger, West Africa. They were helping with our son-in-law's parents who are missionaries over there. And we got a call in the middle of the night that there were terrorists that were burning down all the churches in the cities, and they could see the smoke right outside their gate. And they said that, you know, they were saying, "Mom and Dad, will you guys please pray?" And, you know, there's times like that where it's like, yes, my kids are in danger. And it's where you just go to the word of God. At that time, I went to, in my mind went to those verses in Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah 43 about you will walk through the water and you will not drown. You will walk through the fire and you will not be burned. And I went and found my Bible to, and this is like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like trying to find my Bible to find that reference so I could have something to stand on in faith. And it was right after that verse about the, you will walk through the fire and you will not be burned. There was a verse that said, I will bring your sons and your daughters from the ends of the earth. And I just began to pray that God would bring our children back and our grandchild back safely. And then the more I began to pray, I just felt like they were exactly where they were supposed to be and that God was going to protect them. And something incredible is that the church that they were at, it was completely burned out. And on Sunday, they actually found a Bible, like a page of a Bible that had that page from Isaiah that was like, and it wasn't even in English. It was like, she showed me the picture of this page and you could see from the reference of what the verse was. And I'm like, that was the verse. I prayed for you. And then even just like, she wrote on Facebook the morning that they went to that church service. And she just said, Mom, she said that I have never been a part of such an incredible church service in my entire life. And we're talking about a church that was everything. All the chairs were burnt out. The ceiling was burnt out. There was like ashes everywhere. There was no sound system. It was raw, rugged Christianity under persecution. And she said in that moment, she experienced the presence of God unlike anything she had seen before. You know, when I hear stories like that of our kids having the honor of being an ambassador for the name of Jesus, it just brings such joy to my heart. And I just encourage each mama who is listening, you know, we need to draw close to Jesus, to worship him, to see the cross, to just love him and pray that he would give us more of his love, his passion for the lost, and then do whatever he tells us to do.
I can't even talk right now. I'm just, my heart is up in my throat, and I am so grateful that God would give us the opportunity to parent children to come to know him, love him, and serve him. What an honor that God has given us. And you are an authority on creative prayer. I think I learned to pray about the world from you. But one of the things I did shortly after getting your book, my kids were all little and we bought a huge map of the world and we laminated it and put it out on the ground. And we would highlight whenever we watched the news with our little vis-a-vis markers, the country that we were seeing in the news. And then we would put our hands on that country and we pray that God would work in that area. And the thing is like our kids didn't know, but shortly after saying that, I was hosting a high school group in our home and I asked the sharing question, if you could do anything in the world with $100 right now, what would you do? And the girls all went around the circle, you know, and they would go to a store and spend the money. And my son said, I would give it to an organization that smuggles Bibles into Iran. And everybody just looked at him like he had five heads. Like nobody else in the room knew where Iran was. And I was like, is there an organization that smuggles Bibles into Iran? I just was, you know, wow. Like, and I just like, we
brave mom, brave kid.
It's not because our family is anything special. It's because God does this transformative work in his children and he is the one reaching out to them, right?
Wow. Wow. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. I saw a picture back during the whole COVID-19 situation, but there was this picture of children in Mozambique. And there was this precious missionary that had taught the children how to pray. And there were pictures of these children. And at that time, there was not even one case of coronavirus in their area, and the children were interceding for the nations all over the world. And I shared a picture about what this lady was doing and the children praying. And I tell you, that picture just went, I had never had so many shares of a picture on Facebook ever. And it's just, when you see that heart of children fervently caring for others, it's just so, it's so beautiful. You know, it's like, you know, when I came and saw my little son, Josh, that was weeping about people not being able to go to heaven, like that impacted me. And I care about the lost, and I've even been doing mission work my whole life. Like that was one of the most impacting moments for me. So, I mean, we're to raise our kids that they would be like, that our sons would be like olive plants grown up in their youth, that our children, our daughters may be pillars sculptured in palace style. That's from Psalms 144:12. But anyway, just that we would raise our kids to be mighty men and women of God right where they are.
And take them with us. You've done that for your kids' whole lives as they've gone with you. It depends on the situation and if it's possible, but I've gone for years to Haiti over and over teaching women's ministry and working with children's directors in Haiti. And the year, last year, I had the opportunity to take my son Brendan with us. Mm-hmm. And that was probably more meaningful to my friends in Haiti than if I showed up again. It was like, you're willing to bring your family to come be with us in this. And it was an act of faith, right? Haiti's not a safe place to be. It was just, of course, I was going to go take my son to meet my family in Haiti. But interesting, during the COVID-19 thing, my friends from Haiti have been texting us, are you okay? Are you guys okay? Are you doing all right? And I want to say, you know what? I have a house. I have food. I have more food in my table than you have on yours. It's just this heart for the world, because the heart for God's people, the heart for God's people beats the same in all of us who call on the name of Jesus and are ambassadors. My friends in Haiti are ambassadors for Christ too.
Wow. That's beautiful.
So yeah. Good. And we're got to wrap up our time together, which is about the last thing on the earth I want to do right now. But I'm wondering if you could pray for the mamas that are listening that want to grow a heart in their families for missions and to live on mission for Jesus.
Absolutely. Oh, Father, we just come to you. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, we ask you to help us to see the cross like never before, and that we would also see the love of Jesus for the lost, that love that he had, where he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, that he was lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross. Lord, help us to have your love for the lost, both the ones that we could write to seven for heaven, like the ones that we could write the names down, and also the lost that we don't even know who they are. But Lord, you know them, like the people over in Iran that don't have Bibles. Lord, you know. And Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom to train up our children to bring the light of Jesus into their generation. Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord, that we would be mothers that would operate by faith and not by fear, that we would not be afraid of our kids going into dark places to share the light of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom to raise them up, to be strong, not just to survive and like be able to stay Christian throughout, you know, until they grow up, but Lord, that our kids would be raised up to multiply the kingdom of God in their generation. So Father, we just give to you our fears. We just lay them at your feet. We cast them down. And Lord, we just choose to be anxious for nothing. But Lord, we surrender our children to you. And Lord, we give our lives to you. Lord, help us to not be all selfish. Help us, Lord, to have your eternal heart. And oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your salvation. And Lord, may we be equipped and helped. And Lord, we ask for your grace to bring your salvation to others. both local and to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Anne, thank you so much for being with us today.
It is an honor. God bless Moms in Touch International, and God bless you, Lee. I am really proud of you.
Thanks, friend. Friend, are you as challenged and spurred on as I am? Let's take a few minutes to process all we've learned today before moving on to the next thing. First, will you join us in interceding for children around the world who don't know Jesus? You can find all the information on our website for starting or joining a Moms in Prayer group at momsinprayer.org. Is there a mom in your world who needs some encouragement, who would benefit from listening to today's episode, or maybe just someone you want to talk about it with? Take a minute and share this with her. And would you consider partnering with us financially in the year 2020? It's simple to do when you text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. We love being on this journey with you, friends. If you have stories about how God is working where you are, email me at podcast@momsinprayer.org. Moms make the difference. Moms living on mission for Jesus. Moms just like you. See you next week.